Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. January 29, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn: 1 year into COVID, and nothing has changed. It's been a year since we started imposing tightening closures the world over because of COVID-19. At first, we thought that we would shut down the economy and send people home for a couple of months, the summer would come and COVID would go, just like the flu. We were wrong. COVID didn't go, it isn't going, and we have learned nothing since day one of the pandemic. The closures, when imposed, are motivated by politics rather than by public health concerns. When decision makers believe that a closure will reflect negatively on their political rivals, they support it. When they think it will help their rivals, they oppose it. But in neither case is public benefit a factor in their decisions. And the virus, like all viruses, keeps mutating and tightening its grip. Now the world is alarmed by the appearance of mutations from the UK, South Africa, Brazil, and California. But even without an official mutation, the virus today is far more violent than it was when it first appeared. In the beginning, doctors thought it hardly ever affected children. Now, more than a third of the patients are children, at least in Israel, some of whom are seriously ill, and others are suffering from acute and life-threatening side effects after they have become virus-free, such as Kawasaki syndrome-like symptoms that impact their hearts and brains. And throughout this time, we have been reluctant to look for the real source of the plague. The pandemic will force us to rethink our existence, reevaluate the purpose of our being here. It is a shame that we have to go through such agony to start thinking about it, but nature is inexorable, it won't change direction just because we don't like where it's going. In the end, we will see the connection between human nature and all of nature, and how the illnesses in human nature inflict on us, illnesses from all of nature. It requires very little common sense to see that the only sick element in reality is people. One look at any news broadcast will demonstrate the depth of our disgust with one another. No other part of nature bears such feelings toward any other part. The only part that's full of hate is humankind. All other parts of nature get along smoothly and maintain a balance that supports the thriving of all species. Only we, people, destroy all parts of nature and destroy each other. Therefore, the only part of nature that is sick is human nature, and all the malfunctions that we see in the world are symptoms of the only malady, the sick hatred we feel for one another. So if we heal human nature, we will heal all of nature. Hatred destroys not only people, it makes us destroy the rest of nature. Our hatred permeates all other levels of nature and causes them to destroy one another, just as cancer metastasizes. We can cure ourselves from hatred, but we can't rely on pharmaceutical companies or politicians to do it for us. Only we can cure ourselves, each and every one of us. The real vaccine is our mutual support, the mutual responsibility for one another, since if one of us falls, all of us will fall. For the time being, I don't see that humanity is grasping the concept of mutual responsibility and its role in saving our lives from the impending man-made and natural disasters, the worsening symptoms of our hatred. Each of us must feel responsible that we have not yet grasped it. When we all commit to rising above the hatred, when we stop blaming others for our woes and realize that it is not the differences between us that destroy us, but the hatred that we feel for one another, we will begin to see positive changes, and not one day sooner. It doesn't matter who is the Prime Minister or who is the President, a nation divided is a doomed nation. If we listen, we will save ourselves and the whole world. If we do not, we will destroy ourselves and the entire world. My new article on LinkedIn: People of Israel, unite before it is too late. Any period before elections is nasty, and Israel's campaign before Israelis go to the polls in March to elect the Prime Minister is no different. The split is at its peak, the mutual contempt is celebrated while everyone pulls in opposite directions with only one goal in common, to slander the other. The difference between us and other nations is that the very existence of Israel depends on its unity in order to defend itself from all the evil forces that want to annihilate it, including forces within America. The only period that can be compared to our current one, to get a little estimate of our dismal situation, is the time before the destruction of the Second Temple, days of unrestrained hatred, days of disgust and rejection, days that invite negative forces to dismantle our people. As long as we fail to collectively turn the steering wheel with all our might to the right track, the deterioration of division will lead us down the slippery slope to a real disaster, to no less than destruction of our society. Behind the current U.S. administration are extremist forces whose ambition is to destroy Israel, to wipe us off the face of the earth, and to impose ideals opposite to the Judeo-Christian tradition. The minions of those forces will swarm to gleefully sign on its behalf to repeal the legal validity of the State of Israel, not with one hand, with both hands. Therefore, if we do not come to our senses and realize how immersed we are in social sludge and ego that invites sick evils upon us, the situation will deteriorate and the forces of destruction will be revealed. At best, a few Israelis will be able to escape with the one-way ticket away from here. There is a hard inner core in this administration that is confident in its position and strong in its will, and it is further supported by a number of American Jews who have learned nothing from the darkest period of the Jewish people. History repeats itself. But just as this threat unfolds, the solution also reveals its hand. Our future fate depends on our knowing how to correctly focus the stronger latent power within the Jewish people, to connect as one man with one heart, above the forces of separation and conflict between us. Coming suddenly face to face with the threatening forces that loom against us, can spur us on and empower us to build and fortify a bond of love between us, above all the hate that divides us. The connection between us will save both us and the whole world. According to the seminal ancient book of Kabbalah, the book of Zohar, which explains the secrets of the Torah, Israel is the heart of the whole world. Just as the organs of the body could not exist in the world even for a moment without the heart, so all the nations cannot exist in the world without Israel. Therefore, the people of Israel must function like a heart that abides by the law of loving connection and passes it on to the world, in other words, acts as a light unto the nations. Israeli brotherly love evokes a positive force, a supreme force over and above all our little individual forces, with the capacity to neutralize all evil. This power corrects, straightens, settles, and organizes reality in an integral and acceptable way for everyone. Only in Him must we trust, only on Him must we lean. This is the short and good way. The long and excruciating way would be to ignore the warning signs and the call for unity between us, the force which has been the foundation of the people of Israel since time immemorial, and to continue to allow hatred to gnaw away at our cohesion until our foundation is undermined and destroyed. Trump has completed his term as president. He spoiled the people of Israel, gave us billions to sign agreements with the Gulf states and more. But we used those gifts to strengthen our pride, justifying ourselves in hanging on to it. Biden, and behind him Obama, on the other hand, operate along a rigid line. With the help of Iran and the rest of the hostile countries in the Middle East, their thrust will make our lives bitter indeed. In the days of Trump, there was an opportunity for us to wake up, to recover, to positively influence each other without the need for blows to drive us toward unity, but we missed the chance to do it through a gentle influence. Now the field has changed with the new administration and the challenges will grow. As it is written, permission has been granted to the destroyer. From now on, even the millions of sworn pro-Israel Americans who voted for Trump will gradually flock to the mainstream, join the opposite line and abandon support of Israel. These people are no less anti-Semitic by nature than others. And now that they do not have to fight for their party, they will not fight for us, either. Therefore, the Israeli line must be sharp and uncompromising. We will only succeed if we connect above our differences, and this includes all sectors and small streams within our people. We will only succeed if we lovingly cover all crimes without exception with devotion. Only in this way will we be able to overcome those wanting to destroy us. It is precisely when everything around us splits, breaks, and is on the verge of destruction that the time is ripe and ready for our connection and unification, because the revelation of evil must precede the revelation of good. From the worst place where it seems impossible to find a common ground, there good will grow. Any evil forces against Israel can be reversed for the better, and the reversal depends only on the unity between us. If we know how to unite as one, then we will align with an auxiliary force that will help us on our way to still the enemy and fulfill our destiny in the world. Breaking through the Muxum. To break through the barrier of the spiritual world means to break the barriers in the heart of each person, which prevent him from connecting with others in the global system of Adam HaRishon, to reveal that it is all filled with the upper light, the upper force of bestowal and love. We must try to break open our hearts and feel our true inner connection, that is, the Creator. Everything that happens in this world leads us to a single goal, to unite, connect, reveal our connection within the common integral system, and feel a drop of unity in our heart. Let's imagine how we break through the barriers between us, passing through all the obstacles and mutual rejection, our resistance to the inner connection of hearts. The more we strive for unity, the more we become convinced of how much we are opposed to it, how much we hate this state, what a black, endless abyss separates us from it. But if we step into this black abyss of our egoism, strive to unite despite all its resistance, and break through the barrier, that is, if we agree to step on our rejection and hatred, then we reveal that there is a drop of unity and connection. There, within this drop of unity, we discover our connection with the Creator. Hatred and rejection, which felt like an impassable abyss, will remain because all crimes will be covered with love. And at the same time, I must be ready for this step. And as soon as I step forward into the abyss, I discover solid ground under my feet and can go on. But that is only after I have taken a step forward. For an egoist, there is nothing more terrible than connection. This is the whole of creation. The inner rejection that we find in the heart against the connection with our friends is darkness, a black abyss of hatred, and there is nothing worse than that. The reaction to connection is the most difficult experience of all possible situations in life, because it comes from the very root of creation. But despite this, together with our friends, holding on to each other, we take a step forward with our eyes closed. We know that we must do it, because only by doing this can we please the Creator and advance toward the goal of creation. If this is really for the sake of the Creator, then we can make this action above our strength by annulling ourselves before our friends and receiving strength from them that we can go forward with. This is only possible through the power of the group. My own Sephira Malkut is not capable of anything. But it has the first 9 Sephirot, and if I join them, I get all the strength from them. Everyone should unite with their friends in this way, bend themselves, and feed on their strength. Only in this form can one advance to the Creator. 1. Connect with your friends. 2. Gain strength from them. 3. Take a step toward the Creator. And then the Creator gives us a drop of unity to breathe in. The 10 turns into a spiritual vessel of 10 Sephirot, inside of which is the Creator who fills us with the upper light. A drop of unity is a drop of light, a drop of spiritual seed, from which our soul begins to grow. A drop of unity is revealed only to the measure of our efforts to unite. If we want to get closer and cannot do it, then a drop of unity comes and connects us. And then we discover that it is the Creator Himself, a drop of seed from the future state. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 24, 2021, Breaking the Barriers to Spirituality. The future is interconnected. Question: a person has to be ready to face the solution of any problem and see what the solution consists of. Answer: a person should not run away from the problem, he has to study and solve it at all costs. But if all people would want to solve something together, they would be able to do that, since the problem, in general, boils down to just their correct interconnection. Then, from within themselves, they will find a solution to any problem. This should be approached gradually, by educating oneself to understand how to interact with each other, what to aspire for, how to find the correct state of the future in connection with each other. And it is only one, in global interconnection. In it, we will provide everyone with everything and everyone will be happy. This should be the intention in thoughts, in feelings, in education, in views, and in calculations. From Cab TV's Kabbalah Express, January 12, 2021. The algorithm we must learn. Question: why is there such an imbalance in what comes down to people from corporations and government is perceived as negative and what originates in people is perceived as positive? Answer: the fact is that we have already gone through previous growth when everything descended to people from masters, officials, corporations, no matter from whom and what. And now we have reached a state where only by agreement among us, can we arrive at a new social contract. But not in the form that has been laid down throughout the history of mankind. Today this agreement should be created on mutual agreement and understanding between people of the general law of their development. This is a spiritual law that is higher than people. They must study it, see that it is applied in our lives, understand and accept it. There can be no other way out than uniting people and connecting them through the special algorithm of this law. It is described in the study of the Ten Sefirot and in the articles of my teacher Abash. But all this must continue to develop, and the main thing is to teach and to explain verbally what is written there so that everyone can understand. Question: which brand is the most relevant today? What would be best for a person? Answer: revelation of the higher managing system, this is what we need. This is the algorithm that must be learned. From Cab TV's Kabbalah Express, January 12, 2021. The first degree. In the corporeal world, the most important thing in order to advance is to open the gate and enter. But it is different in spirituality because advancement is built on top of everything we have lived through. Therefore, the locked gate is not visible at all, it seems to be a solid wall. Man feels that there is a wall in his way, and suddenly, an entrance appears in this wall and allows him to pass. Yet, before the entrance opened, it was entirely impossible to see that there was a locked door in the wall. There was no sign that there was an opening in the wall. That is why it is so important to understand what this wall and these locks at the entrances are. Now the whole world is under lock and key, in quarantine. This is also a kind of concealment, which is revealed more and more in order for us to imagine what removing the locks, that is, revelation, means and to invite it as quickly as possible. We feel that we are imprisoned, in darkness, in a narrow and dark world, but we want to reveal the upper force in it and that there is nothing besides it, which means that it is this force that depicts everything that happens to us, for us. So, it does not matter what state we are in, the main thing is to try to reveal in it this one force about which it is said I dwell among my own people. The most important thing is to feel that in any dark state we are in connection with the Creator and to try to adhere to Him. It follows that we do not need to look for a door in the wall. In the place where we can rise by faith above reason, according to our prayer, request, desire, and invoking the help of the upper force, the opening will appear in the wall and allow us to pass. Just as the Red Sea parted during the Exodus from Egypt. In the place where we unite in our desire to pass, we find an opening and go through it. Faith above reason is what opens the entrance in the wall. The wall is our egoism that separates us, from the quality of bestowal. We stand on one side of the wall in the world of egoism, and beyond is the world of bestowal where we want to go. This transition is performed by faith above reason, that is, to the extent that I am capable in my current state to depict that the wall is opening. The intention of bestowal is revealed inside my egoistic desire. This will be the opening. I understand that I am not capable of bestowing, but I really want it and am ready to do anything to reach it. This is the clash between the existing and the desired states. If we annul ourselves before each other in order to connect, we create a quality that is close to bestowal, and this is our plea to the Creator to help us, to open the entrance for us. The transition from the qualities of reception to the qualities of bestowal, as if crossing the Red Sea. To find the keys to all the locks means to connect Malkut to Bina and reach the opening. However, this is not a mechanical but an emotional revelation. The feeling that we are standing in front of a locked door comes from the fact that we are becoming integrated in the group and trying to break into the hearts of the friends in order to connect as one man. Then we discover that there is a wall that prevents us from doing this. In fact, this wall is the Creator Himself. All we have to do is pressure, persuade, beg, and pray as much as possible until all locks are opened and the walls between us are removed. When we try to connect in the ten, we feel that something is pushing us away, preventing us from connecting in one heart. There are 125 degrees in the feeling of one heart, each of which includes three stages: Ibur, conception, Yenika, nursing, and Mohan, adulthood. We should try to break through the first degree, to reach connection in one desire so that we are together in one heart, in one feeling of unity. This is the first breakthrough into spirituality when we begin to act as one spiritual cell from which we will then grow. A drop of spiritual semen from which the body will develop is required. There are several conditions for this, to be included in the upper, in the ten, to annul before each other in order to merge into one cell, and thus to break through into the spiritual world and begin to grow there. The most difficult thing is the first action, to become a spiritual embryo. Every heart is locked. We must unlock each heart and connect them all together. Then we lock the entire ten with one lock called restriction, screen, and reflected light, which locks us together in a common spiritual action with respect to the Creator. We put this lock on the connection between us, and ask the Creator not to let us escape from the group and break this connection, and thus we connect with the upper force. By praying for my friends, by begging the Creator to help them, I break the lock on my heart. Praying for the friends is a means to break my unfeeling heart. All our hearts are locked with egoistic locks and they feel nothing but their egoism. I cannot unlock this lock myself, I can only ask the Creator to do it. However, it is even better to ask for the friends in the ten, each one for the others. This is most effective when I ask not for myself, but for others, even if it is a formal request. After all, I was always asking for myself, help me, do this for me. And now I am asking for others as if I exist in the ten only to pray for my friends, to establish a connection between them and the Creator. This is my only role, I do not want anything but this, I completely nullify myself as if I do not exist. My only purpose is to provide a connection from the Creator to the nine friends and from them to the Creator. If I try to build such relationships, the Creator will begin to take care of the ten through me. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 25, 2021, Breaking the Barriers to Spirituality. Wow, this year has had quite a start. Comment: America is said to be having the first digital civil war where all the media giants are shutting down everything. Google removed all applications of the social network Parler, it was too right-wing. Twitter permanently banned Trump's account, it had 89 million users, then the accounts of his former national security advisor, then his lawyer. YouTube has removed the channel of an ex-Trump advisor. The Donald's server collapsed and shut down. My response: who decided this? This must be decided by the Supreme Court. How can an office block such people? What right do such organizations that have been created and allegedly declared to serve people, to serve exclamation mark, have to take on the authority to make such decisions? Where is it written? Question: it is not spelled out anywhere. This is such a dictatorship, a digital gulag. What can this lead to? Answer: they, in principle, buried themselves with this. They drove a nail into the coffin. Question: so you think that they now have begun to destroy themselves quietly? Answer: of course. Although there are billions of dollars of winnings, they were paid, and they now understand that they will be close to the new government. But with this they killed all the media. Question: do you think people will understand that this is really such an evil? Answer: this is not just evil, it is incredible. The system that we trust, which should carry only pure information independent of anyone to us, shows itself as absolutely corrupt. Question: is it good for humanity that it comes to such a state of trust no one? Answer: yes, I think that people will be limited only to scientific, more or less social, sociological research. And they will not believe anything else, and even more so, the news and all these rumors. Question: what do you think will come to replace this huge empire? Answer: nothing. Now humanity is going through, not only in America, but around the world, a very big restructuring. Question: and what will come to this place if it is empty? Answer: first, the revelation of evil must come, that we are egoists and we are guided only by egoism. And the truth is not at all important to us, only personal victory is. Even if we are absolutely wrong and we know that we are wrong. That is, our right is above all. Question: this realization will come, and then what? A person realizes that selfishness is evil, it is destructive. So, what is next? Answer: then they will look for how to rise above this. And here you have to rise above human nature. How to rise above our nature. This is where we need the method of Kabbalah, how the higher forces of nature are attracted that raise us to their level. Because nothing can be done at our level. This last stage of understanding egoism in its basest and therefore, the most correct, true, terrible form, this is now being manifested. I need to find out the truth about the power this rules the world, and not that people rule. Question: I already see what people are running? What it boils down to, and I'm not happy with that. Answer: I can no longer tolerate it. Comment: I can't. And I will already pay attention to the top. My response: yes. Very interesting. It will all manifest. Question: I will understand that there is the Creator, that there is this power, to which I must turn. Will there be such a clear understanding? Answer: I will understand this from the fact that they took away all these media that I used to feed on, and now I have nothing to live with. I have to find a direction that leads me forward. And this direction does not exist within our egoistic world. This is a very good time and state. Then we will begin to search, and we will find the actual true source of life. And not the one that was created by all sorts of Google and others. Their time has just passed. 2021 is a time of a very serious, deep, basic restructuring of humanity. Comment: some big, brilliant scenario is being seen here. My response: of course. Wow, this year had quite a start. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, January 11, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn: every time we zig, COVID zags right back. We are well into our third closure in Israel, but the numbers aren't improving. More than a third of the population has received the first shot of the Pfizer vaccine, and more than an eighth has received the second one, and the plague is spreading as if nothing happened. Professor Rand Blitzer, head of the Corona Cabinet at Mugen Israel, the national program for fighting the coronavirus, is baffled. According to Blitzer, by all expectations and models, we should have been in a different place. We should have seen a greater decline in the number of confirmed cases than we are seeing. We also should have begun to see a decline in the number of difficult cases, but we are not seeing this trend as much as we expected. In line with Professor Blitzer's dismay, the national mood is dreary and grey. It seems as though every time we zig, COVID zags right back. Every time we think we've found the way out of the plague, it finds new ways to return. And every time it returns more forcefully. In the first closure, only a fraction of the patients were children under 18. In the third closure, more than 35% of the active patients are children. Worse yet, we're still not certain that the vaccines work for all the new strains that have popped up recently from the UK, South Africa, California, Brazil, and who knows what other strains are in store. The coronavirus is exposing our weaknesses one by one. It is mocking our efforts to retrain it, and shows how easy it is for nature to fool our high-tech medicine that consumes so much of our resources. Every time we refuse to see the truth, the virus shows it to us, slightly more convincingly, but people pay for it with their lives. When the plague broke out, doctors assured us that it doesn't affect children. I said back then that it will affect children, that it will damage not just our lungs, but also our brains, and all because of our insistence not to see that there is no cure for the virus on the level where it manifests, but only at its source, in our abuse of one another and of nature. Now, some children are already in critical condition in Israel, assisted by ventilators, while other children, though still not in Israel, are suffering from Kawasaki syndrome-like side effects, which destroys their brains. Under these circumstances, I must reiterate that the only way to deal with COVID is through healing our social relations, because we will never destroy the virus. It is our poor social relations that drive us to compete and seek each other's destruction, and it is that drive that makes every means acceptable. In our struggle to annihilate each other, we are annihilating innocent people, innocent animals, innocent plants, and the ground we walk on. There is nothing wrong with our planet, it could sustain all the beings living on it, and much more than that, if only we did not seek to outdo, humiliate, and exploit other people, classes, nations, faiths, and races. In short, our hatred of each other is destroying our planet, destroying our health, and will ultimately destroy us. If we want to defeat COVID, we must defeat the hatred we feel toward each other. Only if we do that will we start living a more balanced life, allow nature to restore its own balance, and the countless pathogens that have migrated from wild animals to humans will return where they belong. We will not restore Earth's balance until we stop ruining it, and we will not stop ruining it until we stop ruining each other. This is the chain of corrections that must take place if we want to have a normal life, and nothing we can do will change it. I hope it does not take long before we listen to reality, because the blows ahead are clearly growing worse, and we have had enough unnecessary agony. What is greatness of the Creator? First of all, I must try to feel that there is nothing before me except for this force that is arranging every moment of my life. It can awaken me in opposite ways, make me feel how disconnected I am from it and from the ten, and draw me away with the cheap temptations of this world. However, I depict this upper force behind everything that is happening, and I am always looking for connections with it, regardless of all the disturbances. The greater the disturbances behind which I reveal the Creator, the more important the Creator becomes to me. The disturbances help me make more effort in order to detect the Creator, as if I am adjusting the focus with a lens and bringing the Creator closer to me. The greater the disturbance, the more blurry the image, and the more effort it takes to detect that the Creator is doing it. It turns out that the Creator fills my world more and more because I see that He plays with me everywhere and confuses me increasingly more skillfully until the entire earth is filled with His glory. Working together with the friends, we build a lens, in the focus of which, at its central point, we reveal the Creator. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 22, 2021, Breaking the Barriers to Spirituality. The breakthrough. There is a certain paradox in the process of spiritual advancement. We are used to the fact that the more we grow, the more we understand life and connections in society, the family, country, and the world. As we grow older, we better understand what is happening because we get to know what is already in front of us, in this world. But in the spiritual world, it is not so. The further we advance, at each subsequent step, we reveal more and more concealment, and only then, accordingly, is the revelation. First we need to detect the whole concealment by putting in the required measure of effort, and then we begin to attain this new degree. In our daily life, an ordinary person is different from a scientist, who as he advances further in his scientific work, the more difficult his research becomes, the greater the obstacles he has to overcome. But it is impossible otherwise because he makes new discoveries every time. Whereas an ordinary person does not discover anything new but only becomes acquainted with what others have discovered. Therefore, we must understand that we will always encounter obstacles on the spiritual path that we must overcome by faith above reason, through our connection, each time with effort, and break through to a new level. All obstacles are a revelation of a stronger desire to receive, another stage of egoism. It turns out that we are thrown out of spirituality and see a new stage of uncorrected desire before us, as a barrier, the wall, along the way. We cannot see what is behind this wall, and we can only go by faith above reason. We want to arm ourselves with the power of faith, bestowal, without any evidence or confirmation. And we are looking for ways to overcome this egoistic barrier, our desire to enjoy, by faith above reason so that bestowal becomes higher than receiving. I must raise the greatness of the Creator above all the treasures of this world, and this is possible only through the importance of the group. As a result, we find out that neither I nor the group can succeed and only the prayer remains, a request for help to the Creator. Prayer helps us take the final step that will take us to the other side of the barrier. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 22, 2021, Breaking the Barriers to Spirituality. Day of Gratitude, All from Within. Comment: the UN and UNESCO love to create holidays. There is a holiday called International Thank You Day. The point is that we, they say, neglect to express our gratitude to each other. Psychologists' research suggests that the benefits of handwritten thank you letters was underestimated. Additionally, the researchers found that the prosocial gesture of expressing gratitude in a handwritten note boosts positive emotions and well-being for both the letter-writing expressor and the recipient of the stated appreciation. These oral strokes, the holiday proponents say, can bring warmth, and they use a lot of words like that it moves us, away from stress, toward tolerance. But the main thing is that the words of gratitude should be sincere, from the heart. My response: that is another matter. The UN will not help here. Question: how do you feel about this holiday, the International Thank You Day? Answer: everything that the UN and UNESCO do is dirty in my eyes, and there is nothing that makes what they did bring pleasure and good to people. They do this mainly in order to pump over the money from the pockets of humanity into their own. Check the box. Comment: but the very word thank you has now become so small, turned into a selfish thank you. For what they do, you say, thank you. For politeness, you say, thank you, etc., etc. My response: there is no height or feeling in this. Question: but the root of thank you is ingratitude. You are thanking me. In principle, they say that the roots are quite high. Thank you comes from save me, God. Thank you from gift of goodness. Even in Russian, it sounds beautiful, we just stopped thinking about it. What is the root of this gratitude? Answer, yes, this is gratitude to the Creator. Then, probably, it passed on to people, to emphasize your kind attitude toward them, the reaction to their attitude toward you. Question, basically, do I thank you for something egoistic that I was given? Or can I still be grateful that I was given the opportunity to help someone, to do something good for someone? Answer, no, it is too much. It is impossible to demand this from a person today. I do not know if this was ever the case with humanity at all. We all develop from egoism. So, I should be grateful that I had the opportunity to do good to others. It is all from within. Question, when I thank the Creator, what do I thank him for? Answer, yes, people thank the Creator for the fact that he gives them some egoistic pleasure, gets rid of suffering, from diseases, and nothing else. If we talk about Kabbalists, they thank the Creator for giving them the opportunity to be like him, the Creator. To be Adam. Adam is from the word Adam, like the Creator. This is when they can do good. But it is still the other way around. You do not think about yourself at all. In this case, you break away from yourself and think only about how to act good toward people in order to bring them to the equivalence of form with the Creator. Question, do you thank the Creator for giving you this opportunity? Answer, yes. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, January 11, 2021. Faith above reason and the soul. Question, what is faith above reason? Answer, the concept faith above reason refers to the fact that I ascend above my nature and enter a state in which I am in the Creator, which is opposite from the state I am in today. The Creator is the attribute of bestowal, the attribute of general connection, of general love. Initially I don't have this attribute, but if I can somehow create it inside me, compose and reveal it, it will be above my current egoistic nature and will be called faith above reason. Reason refers to what happens in my nature, in the ego, in my understanding and my feelings. When I ascend above it by wanting to operate in an opposite manner, I will be in the attribute that is opposite to reason, in faith above reason. Opposite does not mean in contrast to. Generally speaking, there are many discrepancies in our simple understanding of life that we need to bypass first and then try to feel, because faith above reason stems from the feeling that there is a state like the upper world, like an ascent above yourself, like life for the sake of bestowal, and you want to acquire this state. When such an internal motion appears in a person, he begins to prepare for the exit from the slavery of the ego. This is due to the fact that a force called the upper surrounding light operates on him for a certain but long period of time. This force was summoned by a person's desire and his actions in order to change himself. Although their internal intention is egoistic, their goal is altruistic. If a person receives such an impact from his work in the group while studying the wisdom of Kabbalah and as a result wants to acquire an extra force, an attribute that is not corporeal, it is gradually created and develops inside him, just like an embryo in a womb. Then this attribute, faith above reason, is born and begins to exist with a life of its own and it is called a soul. In Kabbalistic terms, a person adheres to Bina and is seemingly detached from Malkhut. This is the reason that faith above reason is the attribute of Bina that overcomes the attribute of Malkhut, or the attribute of bestowal that is implemented above the attribute of receiving, or the desire to bestow above the desire to receive. The structure of the general soul is based on this principle, and it is according to this principle that we exist in the spiritual world. We need to build it inside us. Until then none of us has a soul, but only a corporeal body that is not even mentioned in the wisdom of Kabbalah. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, The concept of body refers to our egoistic desire to receive and to enjoy, which exists inside us, and is not related to the corporeal body in any way. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 23, 2018. Immense egoism, and an absolute love. Question: does the hatred between friends and the desire to kill each other that is written about in the book of Zohar always remain? Answer: but of course. This separation remains, and a union is created over it, and, moreover, the greatest, most absolute love. But it must exist above hatred, otherwise it does not exist. There is not one quality. Only the Creator represents one quality, the quality of bestowal and love. And creation must exist separately from the Creator, otherwise it will be lost. If we completely dissolve in Him, then we no longer exist. How can we make sure that we exist and are equal to the Creator, similar in everything? For this there are two qualities in us, the original, absolute egoism, and the clothing on it, absolute bestowal and love, absolute altruism. One overlaps the other. But one cannot exist without the other. That is, we are created from two opposite qualities, giving and receiving, and these two qualities complement each other. Therefore, inside there is absolute hatred and egoism, which is converted in its external outpouring into love and giving to others. And then a person remains a person, a creature, but completely equal to the Creator. This is not perceived by us. We don't understand that. Egoism is called help against you, as if it exists opposite to you. He is not standing in front of me, but inside me. It seems to me to be my opponent, but in fact, when you start to correct it, you see that you have something to correct, something to rise above, thanks to which you can learn, attain, and build yourself. Therefore, it is the material from which you restore the broken statue. Without these egoistic pieces, you would have nothing to collect. You don't really work with egoism itself. You work on gluing the pieces of souls together, you work on the connection between the corrupted souls. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar, number 3. Entering Egypt. Question: when a person striving for unification begins to investigate his nature, he sees that it resists this. Is this state called the entrance to Egypt? Answer: yes. He understands that, on the one hand, he must go toward unification. This property is called Yosef, Joseph. But the rest of his properties, which his brothers personify, are selfish. They absolutely disagree with this. As a result, everyone ends up in Egypt, in egoism, and begins to somehow work with each other, to unite, to multiply, that is, to raise their connection. A person begins to understand how selfish he is and how his egoistic desires are destroying him. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, April 15, 2019. How to keep the gains. Everything will pass, and the grain of help will not grow. Everything you have saved up will be lost for nothing if you don't share it with a friend in time. All your possessions will go to your enemy. By Omar Khayyam, this is how it will be. If we leave this world without giving away everything we have, internal gains as well as external, will all go to the Klippot. Question: what does it mean to give it away, to give to a friend? Not just to give it away, but give it to a friend. Answer: to someone who can use it correctly. This means that he will continue with you, follow you, move closer to the Creator so that he would constantly find the image of the Creator in connection with others. There is no Creator. When we get closer to each other, we begin to feel that such a force exists. Question: your statement there is no Creator kills everyone. It's all over the internet. You've completely confused people. What do you mean? Answer: in the image in which people imagine the Creator, he does not exist in this. This is an absolutely false idea about life and death, about the Creator, about the issue of punishment. It is also invented and distorted. And people live by these false impressions, build their lives around it. Question: when can one say that there is a Creator? Answer: when one discovers, in spite of one's own egoism and the egoism of others, the existence of a force that is above it, a kind, loving force. Then a person understands that this is the Creator. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, September 21, 2020. Discover the initial reason. Question: if everything is fine during the convention and everyone integrates into everyone else, and then you are suddenly thrown off and cannot feel the connection with the friends, should you just leave, or should you help them integrate at that moment? Answer: who gave you this state? The Creator, so turn to Him. If you feel that you cannot sit in the same place anymore, and that you cannot stand it another minute, and that you are simply thrown out of the group, turn to the Creator immediately. He gave you this state for a certain goal. The problem is that we act unknowingly and disregard the root cause. The initial cause is the Creator, so you need to tie everything you feel in life to Him. He inserts everything you feel into you and revives these feelings in you. You need to turn to Him immediately and ask Him, why? What is the reason for this? The moment you understand and perceive that it comes from Him, your attitude toward what you immediately feel changes. You begin to understand that it has a meaning and that it was given to you on purpose, so that you will lock yourself on the Creator, and that it is impossible to penetrate you any other way. The Creator gave you fears, worries, and sharp hostile feelings, which means that He shakes you so that you have no other choice but to turn to Him. You do not understand what it is about, and suddenly you begin to remember that it is from Him, that it is Him. We must get used to locking all our emotions and feelings on Him so that we will feel and understand that every big or small thought that may worry me or not is from Him and that He awakens it in me, he. Thus, I will begin to feel Him, and I will gradually be in contact with Him and begin to understand what He does, why, and for what purpose. This is the beginning of the method of the revelation of the Creator. From CabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 11, 2019. Where should we start learning to love? Question: to attain the Creator, one must love and help gratuitously. Does it mean we should also love animals? After all, you do not expect any material return from them. Maybe we should start with them? Answer: no. Regarding animals, plants, and inanimate nature, there is a clear regulation: you should use them only to the extent that you need to achieve a human goal. Nothing else. You should not sit all the time and, as Mayakovsky wrote, stroke the shriveled black cats. This may be good for generating electricity, but not for achieving the goal of a person. There is no internal advancement in this. From CabTV's Ask a Kabbalist, December 31, 2018.